This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, a week ago, it was the primary election day. We want to talk to the runner-up candidate for the Republican nomination for governor of Oregon, State Representative Ed Diehl, out of the state and area. Ed, thanks for being on this afternoon.
You bet, Kyle. Great to be with you.
So I guess, first of all, your reaction to the outcome of the governor's race and finishing second.
Well, you know, we were obviously disappointed. We gave it everything we had. You know, Jamie and I, at the beginning, we prayed on it and we said, if we do everything we can we accept either outcome? Because we knew there was a risk that we wouldn't be able to do it. And we did. You know, we're at peace with it, but it's still disappointing.
How hard of a letdown did it feel like after putting so much energy into that in a short amount of time?
Yeah, you know, it really was a sprint. We came in late. It's definitely a letdown. Like I was saying before, I was running on adrenaline for the last several weeks. And so after the election, of course, I got some crud. And now I have a cough and a cold, and that's the way it goes.
Was this kind of unlike any other thing you'd experienced maybe in your life?
Yeah, it was. You know, I first entered elected office in 23. You know, the first campaign I ran was in 2022. So and that was a state rep race, much, much different than running a statewide race. We were doing multiple events a day, traveling all across the state. It's like running for state rep times 1,000.
So now that you have finished, when you looked at the results, and obviously the certification and some of that other stuff is yet to come, but the way everything is sitting now, how do you feel about the percentage spread that you achieved?
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being about 7%. And, you know, that's within the margin of error on the last poll that was done in the week leading up to the election, which showed a dead heat, plus or minus, I think, 3.9%, something like that. So, you know, it was in the margin of error. We showed we had great support. I think we ended up winning 9 counties. Given where we started, we had the lowest name recognition, and we also had the least amount of funding compared to Drazen and Dudley. And so I'd say we performed pretty darn well, given those.
Now, I see that the GOP's got a unity luncheon tomorrow. It's a private event. A number of folks are scheduled to be there, including you and Christine Drazen and Chris Dudley and David Brock Smith. What do you expect from that event?
Well, this was an event that I called for in the first debate for a unity. I called for a unity breakfast, but then we ended up scheduling a unity luncheon. And then the ORP took that and took the lead, which I think is great. So what we all need to do is get over our differences and unite among the winners, not just for the governor's race, but for every one of these statewide, you know, for state senator and the other legislative races, and just unite behind the winning Republicans and get some more Republicans elected.
Now, is this an event that is often held, or is this kind of a first-time thing?
I think this is the first-time thing to have this kind of a unity event and have all the other candidates come together and get over their differences and try and unite around the winning candidates.
Now, have you had an opportunity to talk to either Christine Drazen or Chris Dudley after last Tuesday?
No, I'll be touching base with them tomorrow for sure. That's what I figured I'd do. And yeah, I just think it's important. I want my supporters to rally around the winners and in the governor's race. In that case, it's Christine Drazen. And I know that some of them aren't too enthusiastic. I wouldn't put it that way. I'd say they're disappointed in the outcome. But I think they need to face the fact that we need to defeat Tina Kotek. And Drazen is the chosen one.
Now, if you are asked, would you campaign for Christine Drazen this fall?
Well, I'm definitely going to support Christine. And I'm going to encourage my supporters to support her as well. And I'll be doing what I can to get out the vote for all the Republican races.
I know, as you mentioned, a number of your supporters talked about writing you in the fall or writing off the election and not doing anything. I know often in races, whether it's Democrat or Republican, a lot of times people have kind of an initial reaction to that. But what would you say in terms of what they should do going forward?
Well, I know it's a big letdown because I had some amazing grassroots support that put in so much time and energy to work on this. And it's, first off, it's so much appreciated and it's humbling. So it's a severe letdown. And I think people just need some time to recover and reflect and reset and say, okay, here's the lay of the land. No, we do need to stay engaged. And make sure we get Republicans over the finish line in November.
Do you see coming out of the Democratic side with the lack of support the governor got from a lot of longtime affiliates in terms of money to this point or earlier endorsements, et cetera? Do you see any scenario where some other candidate lands on the Democratic ballot this fall other than the incumbent governor?
No, that's not possible. There won't be another Democrat, at least, but there is the possibility of an independent party candidate. I think there's also a Green Party candidate that'll be running, and time will tell. We'll see if they're gearing up to pose a challenge to Tina Kotek. But she's definitely people aren't very enthusiastic about her.
And a lot of observers point to the fact that Oregon has not had a Republican governor since, well, over four decades. Why do you think it could happen this year?
Well, I think what we're seeing are that this is what our campaign was about, is the issues facing Oregonians related to excessive taxation, poor performance in schools, a homeless problem that's continuing to get out of control. Issue after issue are due to poor governance by Tina Kotek and her predecessor, Kate Brown. And the only way it's going to get better is to have new governance in place. And so I think this is a time that does pose an opportunity for Republicans, because I heard it everywhere I went. Whether I was in Portland or Burns or down in Brookings, they're all complaining about the same things, and they're all due to Tina Kotek.
One of the polls that came out before the primary, I think a couple weeks ahead, had for Portland residents, or greater metro Portland residents, that the governor had a negative polling of 59%. What does that tell you in an area that's known for always voting progressive Democrat?
Yeah, they're not happy. They are not happy with Governor Kotek. And imagine what those polls would look like in other parts of the state. So that's pretty pathetic. But so I don't know what that means, though. Does that mean she's not being progressive enough? I think what it means is that they think these ideas sound good, but her implementation of them has been very poor. And I know some groups are holding out because they want her to be more to the left. And actually, we're seeing right now a sitting senator that's more of a moderate Democrat. She lost her primary, Senator Solman, to a Democrat socialist. And we saw in another House rep primary with to replace Representative Helm, which was more of a moderate Democrat. The two candidates there, the Democrat Socialist won that one too. So we're seeing the legislature possibly swing further to the left and to the extreme.
And now as you look to the other aspect of last Tuesday, what was your reaction to the defeat of the gas tax, et cetera, proposal?
Oh, we were elated with that. We knew that the gas tax was going to go down. But even I was surprised by the overwhelming vote in opposition. I think it's sitting at 82-83% voted no. Every single county voted no. That is, I think, by what we can tell, the most overwhelming referendum defeat in the history of the United States. And it just told us that we did the right thing. And all the Oregonians that stood up in the cold and the rain and gathered those signatures were speaking for the will of the people against a governor that was not representing them.
And it was probably also helped by the current price of gas being much higher than normal as well.
Well, yeah, that's definitely the case. And people are paying through the nose right now for their gas. And, you know, just thinking of an additional 15% increase on the tax was a non-starter. That's something, that's why I called on Governor Kotek to give us some kind of a reprieve on the taxes and some of the mandates that are driving up our fuel costs. And just temporarily until these gas prices get down to normal.
Now that we've got a bit of a break as we get in towards summer, do you feel like anything will happen in terms of addressing the funding issues for ODOT, though, until the next legislative session?
You know, I don't think ODOT has a funding issue, fundamentally. They have a spending issue, and our state has a spending issue. When I look at how much the state budget has increased over the last 10 years, doubling in 10 years, this is not a funding problem. I know that that's all Governor Kotek sees, is trying to grab more and more of our tax dollars, but that's not the answer. And we see that Oregonians are not interested in paying a dime more in taxes until they see that the money they're spending is being used wisely. So that's the answer. They have to figure out how to manage ODOT within the funding that they already have.
And do you feel like the governor will call the legislature into session, or is that especially unlikely in a political election season?
I don't think she'll do it. Yeah, I don't think she would call the legislature into session. It would be a real political hot button.
So with everything going on, do you feel like this is a momentum that will help the GOP overall in legislative and other races in Oregon this fall?
Well, I sure hope so. I think what we need to do is leverage the gas tax momentum and highlight, I hope we highlight on a regular basis how Governor Kotek just openly defied the will of her own people, rammed this gas tax through despite this overwhelming opposition. And it's not just opposed by Republicans. It's Democrats, independents, not affiliated. They all overwhelmingly voted to kill it. So we need to remind voters of that every day. And a lot of it's going to come up to come with voter turnout. So we'll see. There was an uptick in Republican turnout during the primary. And I think that had to do with some of the work we did and the gas tax referendum. But it's going to be a lot of work to continue to carry that through the general election.
Now, do we have any other referendums heading for the ballot in the fall?
We do. We have one that we're working on. We call it the No Tax Clawback. But it's where Governor Kotek disconnected us from some of the tax breaks that we got from the feds in H.R. 1. And she tried to roll those back. And it results in about a $311 million every budget cycle tax increase on Oregonians. We want to give that tax break back to Oregonians. So there's that referendum. Also, our No Tax Oregon team, in addition to that one, is helping Representative Mannix with a petition that would reverse or eliminate the death tax. There's just a handful of states now that have a death tax. Most states have gotten rid of it. And then of those states, we have the most punitive death tax of them all. And what I mean by a death tax is a tax that's imposed on your estate that your whoever inherits your estate has to pay. And it's just, it's a burden and a tax on things you've already paid taxes on. It's completely unfair.
And what rate is that set at right now?
I think the threshold is $1 million. So for a lot of homeowners, especially in the Portland area, their estate's easily over that threshold. So when they try and tax or pass their inheritance on to their family, they're going to have to sell off assets to pay for it.
And a lot of people would ask why that wasn't, when it was put into effect a number of years ago, why that wasn't indexed for inflation, which would put it up a much higher level automatically.
Yeah, that would have been a great idea. I don't know why that wasn't done. I do know a couple of years ago, I worked with Representative Mannix to increase the threshold for family farms, and we were successful with that. But still, we believe that we should just eliminate it. I think 38 other states so far have eliminated the death tax entirely, including California. And I know a lot of people that are moving out of Oregon because they don't want to face that tax.
Well, and realistically, even at the middle income level, if you have a decent house, maybe you have a second house you use for a rental or something like that, add in investments accumulated over the years, a lot of people are really over that level, whether they realize it right now or not.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why we're running this petition. And we've got sites. I think over the weekend we had 70 pop-up locations around the state, and that's going to continue on this next week and into June. So if we can gather the number of signatures we need, and we still have quite a few needed, we can get that on the ballot. And I think that will help us because there's a general anti-tax sentiment going on in the state.
And along with what you're working on, are there any other potential initiatives out there?
Well, we also have Rep. Mannix's Crime Fighting Act, which would reverse some of the catch and release legislation that was put in a few years ago. And then we've also got a vote before tolls. Basically, tolling cannot be put in place unless it has the vote of the people. So I think these are really good petitions that we hope to get across the finish line. Also, I don't know if you've read, but IP28, the petition that bans hunting and fishing, appears to have enough signatures to go on the November ballot as well.
And tell us, that one really deals with a whole lot of other things besides just hunting and fishing as well.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It bans animal husbandry. It bans pesticide control. I mean, if you a strict interpretation of that petition, you can't kill a mouse unless it's in self-defense. It's just completely absurd, and I don't see it surviving at all. In fact, my hope is it drives more hunters and fishermen and meat eaters to the ballot than ever before. And it goes down in flames, just like the gas tax did.
So talk about, for you, you've been in since 23. What's your status as a state representative?
Yes, I'll be in the legislature now until January, when my replacement gets sworn in. And it looks like that will be Dan Farrington. I endorsed him in the primary. He's a great guy. And he will not have a Democrat opponent from the looks of it. So he will be running unopposed. And so I'll be working with him to make sure he's well prepared when he enters the legislature in January. So I hope to work with him to introduce some good legislation, to introduce him to folks, and just make sure he's ready to hit the ground running and represent House District 17.
So did the way the calendar lays out, did that require you to not run for state representative again at the same time you're running for governor?
Yeah, that's the way it works. I had to pick one or the other. And so we picked to run for governor. So because the elections are up at the same time, you can't run for both.
So what are your plans for this remaining year in terms of things you'd like to focus on legislatively?
Well, for me, legislatively, I'm still working on what that looks like. And any bills that I introduce will be introduced through Dan Farrington for the next session. Right now, I'm focused as a state rep, just helping folks in my district when issues come up. I've got the Detroit Dam drawdown, which is probably the number one issue in my district, that I'm working with the cities and the Army Corps of Engineers on that, as well as the county. And then beyond that, I want to get these petitions across the aisle, get some more Republicans elected. But most importantly, I got to take my wife on a long vacation.
And as we wrap up here, if people want to find out more about the petition efforts you mentioned, how do they get connected?
Yeah, if you go to notaxoregon.com, and you can find all of our signing locations. And the thing to remember, a lot of people are confused because they see the No Tax Oregon pop-up sites and think, oh, I signed that one. That's the gas tax. No, this is a whole slew of new petitions that I think you'd be very interested in. So definitely go to notaxor.com, look for those pop-up locations, and stop by and talk to the folks about these new petitions.
And as you mentioned, probably after all of this, you're probably ready for a vacation as well.
Yeah. Yes, I could use one.
All right. Out of time for now. I'm sure we'll talk again at some point in the future. State Representative Ed Diehl coming in second in the Republican primary for governor. Thanks for being on today.
You bet, Kyle. Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.